What's up, everyone? I want to tell you about a car that you are going to love. Check it out. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, I love that, available dual wireless charging pads ensure that you can take on any adventure. So let's say you're ready to take the family on a camping trip or something like that. The Santa Fe is perfect for you. You've got all-wheel drive. You can load everyone up in the third row. It's time to start being adventurous, and you need the right car, and that's the Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
On his way to the end zone.
I'll tell you what, that was a spectacular play.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
What a play! Off to the races! Touchdown! Oh, he's done it again!
Now here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, Heath, and Ben.
So how much are you going to trust your Jets and your Texans this week? Is Ben Roethlisberger and his juicy matchups rest of season really the best quarterback to add off the waiver wire? This is a very interesting waiver wire week. Welcome to the show, everybody. We are into week 12. We are into Thanksgiving week. Everyone's going to be really hungry and distracted this week, but that's okay. We got plenty of football to talk about. We do have the Chiefs and the Cardinals on a bye, so we have a lot of firepower to replace. Jamie, what do you think? What do you think about the waiver wire?
It's not great, but you know, there are, like you said, it's an interesting week, and there's certainly options that you either A, have to replace, or some guys that could be flex options for you. You know, you also have to start thinking ahead a little bit. Like you said, Roethlisberger's schedule, but week 13 has four more teams on a bye. Week 14 has teams on a bye. Obviously, you should start preparing for your fantasy playoffs if your team is in a good standing right now. So there are moves you can be making, and you know, I'm sure as you'll bring up, there are definitely options that you can find in some shallower leagues as well. You know, so keep an eye on some of the players that may have been dropped. Like, you know, I know a few of my leagues, Kirk Cousins was dropped. You know, I'm in a 10-team league where Brandon Ayuk was dropped. You know, so there are players that you could find that can help you in some 10-team formats and maybe some shallower 12-team formats as well.
Yeah, and the reason why I think it's such an interesting week is because it's a few teams that you don't really want to target. Let's put it this way. It's a lot of players that we wouldn't normally want who have great matchups. And that's especially true at the tight end position. In fact, the tight end, I don't know if you've noticed, but your favorite tight ends on waivers this week, they don't just have good matchups this week. They have great matchups basically the entire rest of the way. That's Evan Ingram, Logan Thomas, Austin Hooper, and then Noah Fant. If he's available, he may have been dropped going into his bye. His matchups are ridiculous rest of season. I can get into that in a little bit more detail. But also you got like the Jets-Texans game, right? And the running backs there,
yeah,
and the quarterbacks there, and then obviously Elijah Moore. I mean, all right, so let's get right into it. The top priorities, is Elijah Moore going to be number one? What do you got so far?
I mean, I don't know how many weeks in a row we've been saying this, but, you know, add Elijah Moore, add Elijah Moore, add Elijah Moore, and you're continuing to see the results. 12 or more PPR points in four straight games. Obviously, another blow-up game this past week against the Dolphins. Like you said, he gets the Texans. The only concern I have for Elijah Moore is what happens when Zach Wilson comes back. Because most of his production this season has come with Mike White, Josh Johnson, and Joe Flacco. You know, so is Zach Wilson going to come in and continue to give him six or more targets like we've seen? That would be the hope. Is he going to continue to lean on Corey Davis, which is certainly a possibility? Is he going to give more opportunities for Jamison Crowder in terms of Wilson? You know, so we'll see. But I think the mantra is there for the Jets, which is understandably so. Feature Elijah Moore. Let him be the guy going into the end of the season. So by next year, he's this. He's exactly what we're seeing during this four-game stretch. A go-to receiver for the Jets and certainly a great fantasy option for fantasy managers.
Yeah, he caught a pretty deep ball on Xavien Howard, made a great move on him. He abused Byron Jones on his touchdown. I mean, you know, just watching the routes, he seems very polished. And, yeah, you know, you could say, well, it's the Jets. Well, they've actually been all right. They've been okay offensively the last 4 weeks. They've had two really good games. And then
Zach Wilson went down. It's amazing.
Yeah, I know. Right, it is. But the comparison I would make is Ayuk. Look at the quarterbacks that he was playing with at the end of last season. He was a top six wide receiver down the stretch. All right, so if Moore's number one.
Those guys weren't rookies, though. That's the problem.
No, Ayuk was.
No, but the quarterbacks.
Oh, the quarterbacks weren't rookies.
I think that's the thing is, can Zach Wilson put him in enough, give him enough opportunities, catch a ball, balls, you know, right spots, you know, move the offense. Because that's what we've seen is, you know, since Zach Wilson's gone down, this offense has been good, you know, and you've been saying it in your back and forth with Heath about the DSDs, but it's almost like, you know, the offense has been competent, you know, without Zach Wilson under center. And hopefully, you know, like Robert Saleh said, that they wanted him to learn, and it makes sense, but also get healthy. For our purposes, fantasy managers' purposes, I think we'd like to see Joe Flacco one more game or Mike White one more game as opposed to maybe Zach Wilson.
We'd especially like to see Mike White if you're looking to pick up Ty Johnson. Now, before I forget, I want to talk about this before I get the rest of your top priorities. Who are some wide receivers that you would drop for Elijah Moore? And I've got, you know, I've got the list of roster percentage up here. So I guess, like, would you drop Cortland Sutton? 87%.
So I didn't give Cortland Sutton as one of the drop candidates. I had him as that last week, and you could certainly make a case that what changed. But I think you just look at the situation for him, you know, hopefully signing the contract. I know Tim Patrick signed the contract too, so both these guys got big extensions. This is an easier matchup. You know, I didn't like him going into his last game against the Eagles, you know, with the way that the Eagles play defense. So we'll see how he does this week, you know, in a potential shootout against the Chargers. Not an easy matchup because the Chargers secondary is good. But I think Sutton, if you want to hold on to him, hold on to him. But certainly if Elijah Moore is available, I would drop Elijah. I would drop Cortland Sutton for Elijah Moore.
Okay. Chase Claypool.
No.
Definitely Jarvis Landry.
I would find somebody else to drop in roster both of them.
Jarvis Landry, Marvin Jones.
Jarvis Landry droppable, Marvin Jones droppable. The guys I gave you, Donovan Peoples-Jones, you alluded to this. His roster percentage seemed way too high to begin with. And so he's droppable, especially, you know, going into I know it's a good matchup against the Ravens, but I don't think Baker's right clearly. I don't think either of these guys are gonna be healthy. And then they have their bye next week. I would be dropping like Julio Jones, if you're carrying him, I would drop AJ Green. You know, his roster percentage is at 64%.
All of the Hall of Famers, Julio Jones, AJ Green, all of the Hall of Odell Beckham.
Yeah, I know those aren't exactly like sexy names that, we're dropping per se, but, you know, again, it's just a matter of I would try and find a different way to get Elijah Moore on my team as opposed to dropping some big name players.
All right. So if Elijah Moore is priority number one, who else are we looking at this week?
Overall, I would still put Ty Johnson second ahead of Tevin Coleman. I know Coleman's probably going to get more carries, and that matters a little bit more, I think, with Joe Flacco. But this is still a team. I don't care that the Texans are so bad. I think they're still going to see the Texans score points against the Jets, and that's going to lead to, I think, still more passes and more playing time for Ty Johnson. So I give him a slight nod over Tevin Coleman. You can add both of them. As Ben Trager told us off the air, he's going to spend a lot of his fab budget into deeper league, I know, for Tevin Coleman, and Coleman's more widely available. But Coleman's done nothing this year in the limited opportunities that he's had. Johnson, at least you've seen better production. Like you said, a lot of that came with Mike White. But I'll buy into him being the better talent than Tevin Coleman at this point, and hopefully that's where the Jets go.
And one more name, top three.
I'll go to Kadarius Toney again. You know, I know he got a little bit banged up in the game last night, but 12 targets is hard to overlook, especially if Sterling Shepard's out, knowing that most likely Darius Slay will take away Kenny Golladay in the game next week, if in fact Slay's healthy. So, you know, just looking at it, I said this going in, you know, we were talking who's the best Giants receiver. I think I was the lone guy saying Toney over Golladay. I know you like Golladay a little bit better. I think Dave liked Golladay a little bit better. I know Pete Prisco said it, you know, on our shows the last couple of days as well. I just look at if Shepard's not there, that's Daniel Jones. That's where he's going, you know? So, Toney with 12 targets, I know he did nothing with it. He had the Rondale Moore stat line, but, I'll take my chances with those opportunities more so than a lot of the players that we're looking at that are available this week.
And now they have a pretty bad schedule coming up, including Philadelphia this week. And Philadelphia, they have had the ball in three of their last four games when they completely changed their offense. The Eagles have had the ball for 35 minutes or more in three of those four games. So that's just poison for fantasy points. And I would say Sterling Shepard is at 40%. Maybe, like, if he were playing this week, would he be the guy to pick up?
Yeah, certainly a good point. You know, if he's able to return, but, you know, you see the writing on the wall with him, unfortunately, is he's just so banged up.
Yeah. Okay. So look, maybe if Ty Johnson's number two, maybe Tevin Coleman is also a top priority. But
yep.
But keep in mind, I mean, it's not like Michael Carter had been running the ball all that well. And Robert Saleh said about Michael Carter, he had said, by the way, Dave is not on the show today, in case anyone's wondering. He's out. It took me like 40 minutes on Sunday to be like, hey, Heath's sick tonight. So the people, where's Dave? Where's Dave? He's out for today's show.
Everybody's banged up.
Yeah, man. You know, who's not playing hurt this time of year, Jamie? Robert Saleh said about Michael Carter, you know, if the offensive line blocks him for 3 yards, he gets 5. If they block him for 5 yards, he gets 8. Yeah, that's not a direct quote. But Carter has been able to, with a bad rushing average, because that line is so bad, you know, he's been able to manufacture something. Tevin Coleman could be awful, but Coleman was also used inside the 5 yard line, inside the 10 yard line on Sunday, in Sunday's game. I would guess if they score a rushing touchdown, he's probably more likely to get it. And Houston last week, not counting when Foreman and Peterson were let down, Houston has been really bad against running backs. Okay, give me a quarterback, just one quarterback real quick that's the top guy for just for this week.
I have Roethlisberger as a borderline starter in my rankings this week. 20 or more fantasy points each of his last two games. He looked much better throwing the ball against the Chargers, you know, and I think that kind of sets up for when he's going to be at his best. You know, you go back to the playoff loss against the Browns last year. When they're behind or in a competitive game, he's going to have to throw more, and I think he's going to be better. If the defense is still banged up for Pittsburgh, and T.J. Watt doesn't play, they'll probably get Micah Fitzpatrick back. But if T.J. Watt doesn't play, the Bengals are going to move the ball against that defense. And so will Roethlisberger be chasing points? We know the Bengals' time of possession, that's a big part of how they operate, and they hold the ball a long time, and you know teams don't get many opportunities. But I still think Roethlisberger is a borderline number one quarterback this week. And I would start him, for example, over Russell Wilson, you know, if you're just looking at a Wilson replacement.
Wow, against Washington. Wow.
You trust Russell Wilson right now?
I can't trust Ben Roethlisberger because it's been a year. You know, he was fine, I think, the start of the season last year, but you still saw this weird offense even when they were undefeated. He's just been so bad. Yeah, I would start Wilson over Roethlisberger.
I don't blame you, but I just can't. This Seattle just looks fractured right now. They just completely look lost all the way across the board.
Oh yeah, yeah. Now, Cam Newton, if he's available, that's another story. He's 72% rostered. Okay. So we'll get into the shallow league. All right. We'll get into the shallow leagues and the deep leagues in a bit. We are giving, tonight, listen, it's cold out there. All right. You need a sweatshirt. So join us tonight because we're giving one away. A super cool Fantasy Football Today sweatshirt on tonight's Waiver Wire YouTube stream at 8 p.m. Eastern. Join us and like the video tonight, Tuesday night, for a chance to win at youtube.com/fantasyfootballtoday. And if you don't want the sweatshirt, you're still going to get great. Look at that sweatshirt. That is so cool. You're still going to get great waiver wire advice. So come along at 8 p.m. Eastern, youtube.com/fantasyfootballtoday. All right. Matchup alerts. This is what I wanted to talk about. Ben Roethlisberger. So this week is not a great matchup per se, although the Bengals defense has been pretty up and down. But then you got Baltimore. They just struggle. They give up a lot of big pass plays. That's not exactly Roethlisberger's forte. And then his next four opponents after week, so this will be beginning week 14, they rank 25th or worse against quarterbacks. Two of them, the problem is they're kind of improving, but Minnesota, Tennessee, Kansas City, and Cleveland. Kansas City's obviously getting better, but Roethlisberger's got good matchups. Garoppolo's playoff matchups are great. Atlanta, Tennessee, and Houston. And then I just want to take a look at the tight ends here. Let me just scroll down a little bit. So Noah Fant, Noah Fant has four matchups remaining against teams that rank 26th or worse against tight ends. Evan Ingram has four matchups against teams that rank 25th or worse. Logan Thomas has nothing but top 10 matchups going forward. Before week 18. Week 18 is not.
Is he going to play?
I hope so. But it's Seattle, Vegas, Dallas, Philadelphia. They're the worst. Dallas again, really Philadelphia. Twice. Right. Well, I've talked about this for 3 weeks now. Logan Thomas has the Eagles twice in the fantasy playoffs. Cole Kmet. No, he's not included. Austin Hooper. His next three matchups are against teams that are bottom six against tight ends. That does not include his bye. He has a bye next week in week 13. But Baltimore, Vegas. For Austin Hooper. So
It's tough. This is what I'm talking about, Jamie. It's what, am I really going to trust Evan Engram? Does it matter who his matchups are? I don't know. Tampa Bay wasn't such a bad matchup. He had two catches, but there's appeal here.
Philly has been so bad, though. So bad. He's not a starter, but he's somebody worth adding.
Yeah. I mean, look, I was like, I didn't have the guts to add Adam Trautman last week, and he had his best game of the year by far.
Yeah, it sucks that he got hurt.
Yes, it does. He's out 4 to 6 weeks. All right, let's talk Fab here. It's all right, give me the Fab layout. This is really such a hard conversation to have at this point of the season.
I mean, for me, it would be more as the top guy, and then everybody else is kind of, you're just, you know, whatever you need. I don't think anybody's over 15%. You know, and again, we're talking about Elijah Moore, 61%. So most of the sharp leagues, he's rostered already.
Yeah, hold on a second. 61% rostered, not 61% of your Fab.
61% rostered for Elijah Moore.
Yeah.
So most of the competitive leagues, he's not available at this point. The ultra competitive ones, at least. So I think you just look at it as, you know, what you need. And you know, as we've seen, with some of these running back injuries, you know, you might want to save whatever you have left if there's an injury and there's somebody that gets dropped along the way. You know, so there are going to be some tough decisions that fantasy managers have to make. I know I'm in a crunch in a few leagues where I'm stashing Alexander Mattison and it's hard to roster him. But imagine, you know, he's down, I think, to around 80%. If he's available and Dalvin Cook gets hurt, you want to have that Fab available to spend on him in those leagues where he's dropped. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't necessarily know that there's a tried and true example of that. Where you can't get ahead of, like, you can get ahead of Sony Michel right now, you know. So I'm looking at more of the scenarios of somebody gets, you know, released in the next couple of weeks. But in any event, Moore would be the top guy. Ty Johnson, Tevin Coleman, I don't think they're more than 10% guys because it's 2 to 3 weeks. It's really one matchup that you look at and say, okay, I'll trust them. I'll trust them potentially this week, but, you know, hopefully you don't have to rely on those guys. The tight ends, the quarterbacks, there's nothing that's, I think, worth breaking the bank for. And past Elijah Moore at the receiver position, you know, Tony, the Dallas guys, if they're available, Gallup or Wilson, Van Jefferson, you know, these type of receivers, Nick Westbrook, they're 5% guys or less.
Now I'll give you one more name, and we're going to have to really get into the Jets running backs, because anytime you have an opportunity to get a starting running back for multiple weeks, it is important here, especially with, you know, with Arizona and Kansas City this week, with Christian McCaffrey next week and Nick Chubb, right? You know, you got to fill in for running backs here. So we will get into the Jets running backs because, you know, I saw that it might be more than 3 weeks. They didn't really commit to a firm timetable for Michael Carter. It's a pretty bad ankle injury, apparently.
It's considered low-grade high ankle sprain, but still it's a high ankle sprain. So, yes, it could be more than 2 to 3 weeks. And look, if it lingers, they could shut him down. You know, why would they risk, you know, further injury to a player like that? So, It's something to consider, but it's just, you can't say I trust Tevin Coleman, or you can't say I trust Ty Johnson, especially with the quarterback situation being what it is. If it was a guy like Mike White where you knew, okay, check down, check down, check down, man, Ty Johnson would be a huge priority.
Yeah. Yeah. And here's what I was also going to say. I mean, I guess we're getting into this now. After this week, it's really not a favorable schedule.
Right.
It's Philadelphia, who they're not great against the run, but they are going to destroy the Jets probably, and they're going to possess the ball for 35 or more minutes. Like I said, they've done 3 of the last 4 games. Then it's the Saints. Then it's the Dolphins, who have gotten a lot better. Then it's the Jaguars, who have a great run defense. Then it's the Bucks. So it's a really tough slate for the Jets going forward, especially for a guy like Coleman, who's not really going to make it up in the passing game.
Right.
I want to give you two more names, though, that I think you don't have to break your bank on Fab, but Taysom Hill, they got the Bills this week. So if they go with Simeon again, it's likely he struggles. There's some rumblings. Why not just let, especially just sign him to a contract extension? Maybe Taysom Hill finally gets his chance down the stretch.
Yep.
How about Boston Scott? I got the best Boston Scott stats. So Jordan Howard probably out this week. The Eagles have had multiple running backs with double-digit carries in each of their last 4 games when they changed their offense. They're facing the Giants, who have not been good against the run. And Boston Scott has played 4 games against the Giants, and he has scored a touchdown in all of them. He has 6 games in his career with a rushing touchdown. 3 of them are against the Giants. He has 1 receiving touchdown in his career. It was against the Giants. It is the weirdest thing. Every time Boston Scott plays, literally, every time he plays the Giants, he scores. And if he has the Jordan Howard role, we've already seen it from him when Sanders was out. You know, it's 10, 12 carries.
You think he has a Jordan Howard role, though?
I don't know. What do you think?
I think Miles Sanders is the guy. You know, I think, you know, the fact that they went right back to him after the fumble.
No, they Scott's didn't. They didn't, role. Though. Have- they benched him. He had one carry after the fumble, and then Jordan Howard got hurt.
Right, and then they went back to him.
After the Jordan Howard got hurt.
Yeah that's what I mean. Okay. After Howard got hurt, I apologize. Mm-hmm. You know, it was also, you cannot look at Miles Sanders and say that there's anybody in the team that deserves significantly more touches than him. I mean, 5.9 yards per carry in that game. He's a 4.9 yard per carry guy for his career. He's much more explosive than anybody they had, including Howard. And so I hope it's a lot more of him. But yes, Boston Scott's going to get an opportunity based on how this offense is operating. You're 100% right. So he is worth a look. And look, if this Howard injury is more than just a 1 week thing and then Miles Sanders gets hurt again, you're sitting on the best running back for the Eagles, maybe for a significant stretch of time. So yes, Boston Scott should be added. That's an overlook by my part.
No, I didn't mean it in that sense, but I think I always compare them to the Ravens of last year. And they basically are the Ravens now. So I think of Boston Scott or whoever the number two guy is as sort of Gus Edwards, where maybe you're going to get 10 carries for 50 to 60 yards. You get this great rush average, and there's a chance they score, and they're facing the Giants and the Jets in the next 2 weeks. So is he a great start? No, he's probably not going to catch more than one pass, but yeah, I laid my case out. All right, so deep leagues. I don't want to neglect the players, the people who are listening, saying all these guys are rostered in my leagues. Well, the good news is, you know, Tevin Coleman probably isn't, and a lot of the guys.
Hilliard is available.
Yeah, who else?
Nick Westbrook. You know, I know it's not an easy matchup, but the Titans are down all of their receivers potentially. Marquise Goodwin. You just saw 8 targets for him without Allen Robinson on the field, and you know had a productive game, so he's available in every league. Those are the few that come to mind. Valdez Scantling, you know, 11% is his roster percentage. No game with Alan Lazard. He saw 10 targets. Cedric Wilson's at 4%. No, Cooper or Lamb, most likely, against the Raiders. He had 7 targets in that game. So he's going to, you know, see a significant bump in playing time without those guys there. Opposite Michael Gallup. Traquan Smith's at 9%. He's been basically the Saints' most consistent receiver the last couple of weeks. 11 or more PPR points in 3 of his last 4 games. So there are receivers that can definitely help you. The running backs, like you mentioned, I guess it would be those two guys in terms of, well, there's 3, actually. There's Coleman, like you mentioned. There's Hilliard. If there's no Jeremy McNichols and all the receivers are out, you know the Patriots struggle against pass-catching running backs, so Hilliard's in a great spot. And then I would look at DJ Dallas. You know, you're talking about a running back scenario that's bad for Seattle right now. Alex Collins is not getting the job done. He's battling through this groin injury. No Chris Carson. Dallas, for what it's worth, 4 carries, 25 yards, and a touchdown against the Cardinals. He really looked like the most explosive running back there for them in the limited touches that he had. And so maybe he starts to get more of an opportunity. You know, you heard Rashad Penny getting a chance to have more opportunities, and now he's out with a hamstring injury, shocking once again. So, you know, Dallas could be somebody that you want to speculate on for sure.
Right. It's so frustrating. I actually think Penny would be somewhat appealing. I thought he came back in the game, but he did hurt his hamstring.
He had 2 carries, and that was it. He got hurt on the first carry. I think he tried to go back in and probably re-aggravated it.
Okay.
And then also one more guy, too, I guess we should mention. Rex Burkhead, you know, 18 carries against the Titans, and now he gets the Jets' run defense, which is miserable. And so I still like Johnson better just because if the Jets are playing with the lead, which would obviously not be a surprise because the Texans are still bad as well, Burkhead had no catches. But if they are playing with the lead and probably more goal line opportunities, I think you look at it this way, like, in non-PPR, I probably would go Coleman over Ty Johnson for the Jets and Burkhead over David Johnson for the Texans. In PPR, I would flip it. The two Johnson guys, Ty Johnson and David Johnson in PPR.
Yeah. This entire week, there's a lot of guys who are available in a ton of leagues. So deep leagues, you've got some work to do tonight. All right. Well, you also, here's what you have to do tonight. Before you set your waivers, before you watch our live stream, clear out your freezer. Make some room for ButcherBox and go to butcherbox.com/FFT and sign up right now, and you can get free New York strip steaks for a year. This is a special holiday offer from ButcherBox at butcherbox.com/FFT. I'll give you more details on the offer in just a second, but we freaking love ButcherBox. This stuff is so good, and it's high quality meat with better taste, more ethical, more sustainable. So ButcherBox sources their meat from partners with the highest standards for quality. You don't have to go to the grocery store and look for 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, wild-caught seafood, and more. Good luck finding that stuff. You can get it all at butcherbox.com/FFT. And it's delicious. I mean, look, you want the high-quality stuff, obviously. That's important. But you're not going to like it unless it tastes good. I promise you, you're going to love ButcherBox food. The chicken. It's just a chicken breast. I mean, it is so much better than anything I get at the grocery store or anything I've gotten delivered to me so far. ButcherBox just blows it all away. Holiday season is coming up, so this is a great time to just get a box full of meat, go to your Christmas party or whatever, your holiday party, and, you know, cater it, basically. Say, hey, I got all this meat. Let's cook it up. If you live in one of the warmer states, have a barbecue or five with these ButcherBox selections here. No antibiotics or added hormones. Each box contains 8 to 14 pounds of meat, depending on the box you choose. That is enough for 24 individual meals. It's packed fresh. It's shipped frozen for convenience, so you can save time. You don't have to go to the grocery store. And you can customize your own box or go with one of theirs, and you're going to get exactly what you want. So this holiday, ButcherBox is proud to give new members free New York strip steaks for a year. This deal has never been offered before, and it won't last forever. Get two delicious 100% grass-fed New York strip steaks for free in every box for 1 year. Listen, it's November 23rd right now. You got a week. This offer is available until the 30th, so get it before it's gone. Just go to butcherbox.com/FFT to sign up. That is butcherbox.com/FFT to receive this limited-time offer of free New York strip steaks for a year. I tweeted last night, the Giants currently have the 6th and 7th pick in the draft. What else could they give the Seahawks to get Russell Wilson? How? And then I said, maybe New York pizza and bagels, but how about some strip steaks too? Give it all away.
I would expect him to highly look at the Giants, if available.
You got to get the marketing, right? Nobody knows Russell Wilson. He's anonymous.
Well, it's not that. It's his wife.
Yeah. Nobody knows who she is either. Get her to New York.
She definitely, I think, would prefer to be in a big market like the Giants. That's just total speculation, but
I've heard that about every single free agent who has not signed with the Knicks. So, you know, you got to go to a good team first. That's the problem.
How about what the Broncos have done to say, come, we have all these receivers locked up for years. Come.
That's a mistake, by the way.
Why is that a mistake?
I think they're going to regret signing those guys. They do have a ton of money, so maybe they won't regret it, but I just don't know that... Like, Tim Patrick is not someone you need to lock up to a long-term extension. I hope Sutton is. But
I mean, it wasn't a huge deal for Patrick.
Yeah, I know. I think they're going to regret it.
The guy catches everything.
He does. He does catch everything. All right, let's go to the news and notes. A.J. Brown does
not... Why are you so anti-player? Why are you so pro-franchise?
A.J. Brown does not have broken ribs. So that is good. We still don't know if he'll play this week at New England. Then they have a bye. Are you going to start him anyway if he plays at New England?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He won't be top 15 A.J. Brown, but I mean, he had 9 targets in that game still with the chest injury and, right, and getting banged up. You know, it's just so hard to overlook what his role will be.
And Tennessee wide receiver Marcus Johnson also left with an injury. So that's why Jamie mentioned Nick Westbrook earlier. Lamar Jackson's feeling better.
You don't want a lot of the Titans, though.
No, you don't. Lamar Jackson's feeling better. That's good. Hopefully he plays. Zeke is playing hurt, man. And are you easily going to start rank him ahead of Tony Pollard?
Yes. Okay. But Pollard is a great sleeper this week. I mean, the fact that Zeke stayed in the game, he was so involved in the passing game. I think he's still going to be involved in the passing game. There's much more touchdown opportunity this week against the Raiders. Both running backs are in play, you know. So Pollard is not in the starting group, but he's in the top 30 for me. And Zeke, I think, is going to maybe have one of his best games that we've seen. I mean, you can't look at what the Bengals just did against the Raiders and say that's not the way to go, especially with the receivers banged up. You know, Joe Mixon.
Yeah, I know. I'm just worried about a limping Zeke, who really hasn't been that good for 4 straight weeks, playing on a short week.
Well, you know what'll help? Tyron Smith playing. Tyron Smith plays. That's huge for the entire team.
Yeah. Well, Cooper's not going to play, and Lamb is probably not going to play. So
if you tell me, here are my options for Cowboys fans and for fantasy managers, because assuming that the receivers are not 100, well, let me rephrase that, because fantasy managers obviously want the receivers. If you're looking at the best thing for Ezekiel Elliott and Dak Prescott right now, it is to have Tyron Smith back on the field, more so than it is for Amari Cooper and CeeDee Lamb.
Yeah, makes a big difference for sure. All right, Jordan Howard could be out a couple weeks with a knee injury. Darius Slay is in the concussion protocol. We should keep an eye on that. Michael Carter, let's say he's going to miss the next two games. Then they have, they don't have a bye, I'm sorry. But let's say Carter at least two, maybe up to 4 weeks, something like that. Justin Fields unlikely to play this week. They have the Thursday game at Detroit, so it's Andy Dalton, SZN. Jamal Agnew out for the season, out for the SZN. Adam Trautman out 4 to 6 weeks with a sprained MCL. Logan Thomas suspected a practice this week. We love the matchups. Quentin Nelson, Colts guard. He hurt his ankle. Hopefully he can get back out there. You know the Packers lost their starting left tackle, who wouldn't be their starting left tackle if David Bakhtiari is able to come back, but he would be a starter on the offensive line. So it's a big loss for the Packers.
I think what they were, weren't they planning to move Bakhtiari to guard?
Oh, were they?
I thought that's what somebody said, that they were going to keep Jenkins at left tackle, but that sounded strange to me.
Yeah, I would have thought the
opposite. Bakhtiari's back, which it doesn't sound like it's going to happen this week because they have their bye next week. It's a tough spot to have to fill, play. He's played really well.
Other injuries, some defensive stuff. Asante Samuel against Denver. He left with a concussion against Pittsburgh. So when they haven't had both of their starting cornerbacks, they've struggled. And Samuel is a good one. So that's the Chargers. See anything really big here? Oh, Washington, two offensive linemen. Tyler Larson and Sam Cosmi. They left with injuries in the first half. They faced the Seahawks, an improving Seahawks defense. Jacksonville's got cornerback issues against Atlanta. A couple of guys got hurt last week. Same with Seattle. Seattle could be without their top two cornerbacks at Washington. And that's pretty much all I'll give you right now. Jamie, let's get our top priorities at each position here. Quarterback, go.
Roethlisberger would be one. And then, honestly, it's a toss-up who's behind him. I put Taylor Heinicke second. Hopefully, Logan Thomas is able to return this week against Seattle. But he's coming off a strong game against the Panthers, and hopefully that's something that carries over. And then I put Tyrod Taylor third just because the Jets I don't think are very good. And Taylor had 18 fantasy points in that game. I think he'll continue to play better. But, you can make a case for Joe Flacco. You can make a case for Andy Dalton. You can make a case now for Taysom Hill if you're looking long-term. But I put Tyrod Taylor third. I was going to put actually Teddy Bridgewater third, but he just hasn't been playing well as a fantasy quarterback, so I just completely took him off the list.
All right, and then in the shallower leagues, you do have maybe a Carson Wentz who faces the Bucs this week. That should be a fun game. And
you think you could trust Carson Wentz, though? Because it feels like no. The Bucs defense has turned the corner with their pass defense, and this is such a run-heavy team. Buffalo's run defense was amazing, and look what Jonathan Taylor did. He's just unstoppable right now.
No, I don't think you can trust him. But you have Cam. We should have a Cam Newton conversation here.
Yeah.
If he's available on your waiver wire and Elijah Moore is available on your waiver wire, and let's say you have a quarterback that you trust, okay, you don't need one. Who's the number one priority?
Elijah Moore.
All right. Do you think Cam is a top 12 quarterback rest of season?
Yeah, I do. I mean, you saw 29 points, two passing touchdowns, one rushing touchdown. He doesn't need a lot of passing yards to have big production. He's clearly a threat to score on the ground almost every week. He's shown you that in the game and a half, essentially, that he played. And so, Miami this week, then they have a bye in week 14, or week 13, excuse me. Just keep that in mind. But I think just knowing that he's got what he's capable of still being, even at this version of him, is good enough to be a top 12 quarterback. Like if you're saying rest of season right now, Russell Wilson, I'll take Cam. I think he's in the conversation with Kyler Murray right now. Just not knowing what Kyler Murray's status is going to be coming off their bye week, DeAndre Hopkins' status is going to be. Trying to think of other guys that are struggling. You might put him in the same category as Matthew Stafford if Stafford's going to continue to struggle.
Now you take him over Derek Carr, right?
I'd take him over Derek Carr. I'd take him over Wentz. I would take him over Jared Goff. I would take him... I think he's probably safer than Tua. Hindsight, those were my two choices for start of the week last week was Cam and Tua. I probably should have chose Cam because he was better.
Yeah, and Tua himself, I know it looks like Carolina is a tough matchup, and Tua's 69% rostered. The thing is, I don't know what to make of Carolina because they really haven't faced many good quarterbacks, and when they have, they've struggled. So it looks like a tough matchup, but I don't know how to evaluate. It's hard to evaluate a team that they're fifth against quarterbacks, but whenever they face the good one, they've given up points. And
is Tua there yet, though?
I don't know. I mean, I think he's probably in the 20-point range again.
Yeah, I think Tua is a low-end starter. I don't have a problem if somebody sees him available and wants to pick him up in shallower leagues, but I think there are just better options out there.
All right, who are the top running back priorities, even if we're repeating?
Yeah, the Wood won't like that. I think you look at the Jets guys. Yeah. And again, if you want to prioritize both of them first, I have no problem with that. Ty Johnson and Tevin Coleman. I prefer Ty Johnson just because I'm always looking PPR first. Then I would look at Dontrell Hilliard. Just keep in mind with Hilliard, there's a chance that McNichols returns, but you can't overlook the fact that he had 8 catches on 10 targets and the receiving core is just decimated against a Patriots team that has been terrible for the majority of the season against pass catching running backs. So he has an opportunity there. And then you go to David Johnson or Rex Burkhead. Again, I think it's format specific because the Jets are the worst team against opposing running backs. They've given up 21 touchdowns to the position. Johnson had more catches. Burkhead had more carries. If you think the Texans are going to win that game, which they certainly can, you probably would prefer Burkhead. He had 18 carries for 40 yards against the Titans. Better chance to score. But David Johnson, I think, is the better player. So I'll take David Johnson.
Wide receivers.
Wide receivers, the easy one is Elijah Moore, you know, so put him first by a long shot. And he's the best player to add this week if he's still available. Behind him is where it starts to get more, you know, of a discussion. So I put Kadarius Toney second, you know, 12 targets. If there is no Sterling Shepard, I know the Eagles defense has played better, but clearly this is where Daniel Jones is going to go to more of a short area target. So he's second for me. And I'm going to go back to Van Jefferson third. I think you just look at the opportunities that he's had. We still don't know exactly how they're going to replace Robert Woods because we didn't see a full complement of snaps for Odell Beckham. I would hope Beckham is better than Jefferson, just long-term looking at big picture. But I don't want to give up on Jefferson just because he didn't have a great game last time out against San Francisco in Week 10. He dropped a touchdown in that game. I said it coming off that game. If he catches that touchdown, the feeling toward him is much different. 6 or more targets in 4 straight games, 7 or more in 3 of those, and 11 or more PPR points in 2 of those outings. So I still think he's a go-to guy for Matthew Stafford.
Okay, what if Michael Gallup were available?
Gallup would be 2 behind Elijah Moore.
All right.
So there are 3 guys that are 80% roster percentage. Ayuk, I think you can say better than Elijah Moore even, but in that conversation for sure. Darnell Mooney, you know, coming off the 16-target game against Detroit this week. We don't know when Allen Robinson's coming back, so you got to look at that. Rashad Bateman, don't look at him at what happened last week and say that's any indication of who he is, because if Marquise Brown is out, you definitely want to have Rashad Bateman on your team for this week's matchup against the Browns. And then Gallup is in that conversation also just for this 1 week opportunity.
Yeah, Gallup's something like 72% rostered. So he might be available. 77. I'm sorry about that then. All right, whatever. Less than 80. Tight ends. Yep.
So tight ends, not good. you know, I have Ingram first because of matchup. You know, so hopefully he takes advantage of it. Just every tight end seems to score against the Eagles. So the hope would be is that he finds the end zone again. He snapped his 2-game streak of scoring touchdowns against the Bucs, but I do think the Bucs are certainly in consideration for being much better in their secondary than they have been. If you want to look long-term, Logan Thomas is better. And you can even make a case that Thomas probably should be number one. I should probably flip that with the hope that Thomas returns this week. So I'll put Thomas first, Ingram second. And then I'm going to go back to Cole Kmet. I know we had high expectations for him against the Ravens. He did not play well at all, 1 catch in that game. But I'll go back to him this week against Detroit with just the hope that if Allen Robinson's out once again, he gets a higher target share and certainly produces with it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not so bad. Kind of like it. Kind of like that Cole Kmet this week. Because I do think Dalton is better for the passing game than Fields. Not that he's a better quarterback. I just think he'll produce better fantasy, give us better fantasy production. Not
yeah,
for
he's
himself,
not
going
to run.
But for the other
he's
guys.
He's not going to run, so there'll be right. more chances. You know, I don't want to discount the way Fields was playing prior to the injury because the 2 games previous, San Francisco and Pittsburgh, he started to look like a much more competent passer.
He did, and he crushed Detroit. That was his only – he only scored like 6 or 9 points or something, but he had a great game against the Lions back in week 4 in his second start, and Mooney was awesome in that game. And I'm just so excited to watch that game on Thanksgiving. That's going to be awesome. All right, who are the DSTs we're looking at here?
Andy Dalton versus Tim Boyle. Doesn't
jeez. The Bears are the DST, right? Right into that segue.
Yep. I'm going to go with Washington. It's funny that they lose Chase Young and don't have Montez Sweat, and their defense has played better the last 2 weeks. But Seattle, just to me, is a mess. And then Philadelphia third against the Giants. You could argue Philly's probably better. I think I did this before last night's game. So maybe I'll put Philly second, Washington third.
What happened last night's game? I wasn't watching.
Did they not realize that the game started? I mean,
who, the Giants?
They just went right down the field in the opening drive. I've never seen anything like that.
Yeah, I don't know.
They played much better. Look, they were in the game. They stayed in the game. Give them credit.
No, they were not. They were in the game for a half.
They stayed in the game.
They stayed in the game because of a stupid fluke interception that bounced off.
Yeah, but, you know, they suck. The way that opening drive looked for Tampa, I thought it was going to be 40-0 at halftime. Like, remember the game against the Falcons for Tampa Bay last year? Like, it was like week 14, 15, something like that.
Oh, the Falcons or the Lions?
Was the Lions?
Yeah, the Falcons were week 17 when Evans got hurt. The Lions game was the game where they all played one half. The Bucks,
right.
They gave everybody had a great fantasy game in one half of football.
Right, that's the game I'm thinking of. That's what it felt like last night.
At the
opening drive.
Yeah, I guess so. You know, it was so interesting is the Giants had zero sacks on Brady, and then I think they got two on Glennon.
And Gabbert.
On Gabbert, thank you. And it's just backup quarterbacks get sacked so much, I feel. I don't have a stat to back that up. But it's not just the offensive line. It's the quarterback knowing how to avoid sacks. Brady is so good at that. And he's so good. He's a really good player.
Twitter went nuts when he had his run.
Yeah. And I also have a take on the Manning cast. I want to get to that. But give me the kickers.
The kickers would be go back to Matt Gay. He was dropped in a lot of leagues. Obviously, he's plays for great offense. 47% is his roster percentage. Robbie Gould, with the way 49ers have been playing lately, go back to him or stick with him. And Brandon McManus, I'll go back to him with a home game against the Chargers. He was good earlier in the season. I hope he can straighten out some of the misses coming off the bye week.
Yeah, now Matt Gay is definitely someone that you might want to pick up. Surprised how low his roster rate is with kicking for the Rams. Okay, let's take a break here. And when we come back, we will talk a little bit about Tampa Bay and the Giants. And then get into the drops and the ads, some of the names that we haven't mentioned so far. We'll be right back on Fantasy Football Today.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
It was Tampa Bay 30 and the Giants 10. I believe that was the score.
Yes.
Okay. Sometimes I get all the fantasy stats and I'm like, wait, what the hell was the score?
I do that, so I do all of our notes for the HQ show. And every Monday, every Tuesday, and every Friday, I'll open the show. Hey, we're recapping the game from last night. It was.
Yep. I'm right there with you. So
for fun TV.
30 to 10, the score, and 46 passes. Is there a concern here about Tom Brady? Only 23 fantasy points?
I mean, there's a slight concern that, you know, you should have sold high on him after the beginning of the season because, you know, let's face it, we saw what he was. You know, last year was sort of a flip of what Tom Brady had been. You know, in New England, remember, it was that October to November stretch. He was always a great fantasy quarterback, and then they started to run the ball a lot more, and he wasn't so great down the stretch. You know, clearly still good, but just not at the same level. Maybe he's back to that this year, coming off the Super Bowl run and, you know, having to throw as much as he did early in the season. But once he gets Antonio Brown back, I mean, you got to feel so comfortable about having him on your team, especially in this offense. The one thing I didn't like with the passing game was when they were up 27-10 and Mike Evans caught a pass in the fourth quarter and he came up a little bit lame. I was like, why, Bruce?
And then he brought him back in. They brought him back in.
They brought him back in. And so there were two things that I was looking at that. First, like, why is he still in the game? And second, I was up 3 points in one of my leagues. And I was like, please don't throw it to him anymore. The other guy had Mike Evans. So
you won, right?
Yeah, I won.
All right.
But it's just like, why? Like, don't, why?
Yeah. I mean, look, they won by 20 points, and he still threw, and he didn't even finish the game, and Brady still threw 46 times. Plus, Breshad Perriman drop, it would have been a 35-yard touchdown. It was a tough play, but Antonio Brown probably makes that catch.
One of the Giants beat writers, I don't think it was sarcastically, but tweeted that was one of the best throws he's ever seen.
That's a little bit of a stretch. But it was a really good throw.
I mean, he put it in the spot where only Perriman could get it.
Yeah, it was a heck of a throw. That's boring. Let's talk about the Giants side. As far as Leonard Fournette goes, I know it's a little disappointing he didn't score the touchdown, but he's so involved in the passing game.
Yeah.
Okay, Giants side, any faith in...
First off, good to have Gronk back. He looked fine.
Yeah, he did, sure did. Any faith in any Giants going forward?
Yeah, Barkley. You know, that was the downside of what you thought would happen. You know, I think I was a little bit more optimistic. I know Dave was definitely more optimistic for Barkley. I think you and Heath were more of take a wait and see approach. And so, but the fact that he got the work, got the work in the passing game, I think is encouraging. I think he'll do better this week against the Eagles. It just felt like a bad spot for the Giants. You know, the Bucs have been struggling coming off two straight losses back home, even though Giants are coming off a bye. You know, so Andrew Thomas back. Offensive line hopefully will start to play better. Barkley will get more touches. I think that we're going to see a firing. I would not be surprised if Jason Garrett's let go, if not relieved of his play calling duties. You heard Joe Judge talk about that after the game. So maybe that helps whoever is going to replace Garrett or at least take over his duties. You have to just get Barkley more touches. You just have to. Like it just felt like, and I don't know which broadcast you're watching, but Eli Manning was begging for them to give Saquon Barkley more touches. Like, just get him in rhythm. You know, they just kept saying that over and over again, get him in rhythm. You know, just give him even if you have a three and out, get him two or three touches in a row. Let him start to feel himself. He's the guy that's going to have to, save whatever semblance of season they have left.
Yeah, for sure. I did see a little bit of the Manning cast, mostly watched the main broadcast. My thing now is I feel like I just don't really like the interviews.
That's I think the biggest criticism. Although Julian Edelman was great at the end of the game.
He took a shot at Eli that was a joke, but it just was delivered so harshly that it felt kind of awkward to me.
Which one?
Like, Lee, why don't you leave the jokes for me and you can make your faces or something like that. And it was just like, ugh, cringeworthy. But yeah, I heard that was a pretty good interview. When the Giants went for it on fourth down and one or two, Peyton called the play. He's like, you're going to go that thing where you're going to fake the run and then he's going to mount in the flat. And you know what? The Bucs are right there on it. You know, it's a shame. It's so much wasted talent on this team. So much wasted talent. And yeah, Joe Judge is furious. He really directed it at Garrett. And I don't know what the problem is. I can't diagnose it. I don't know if it's the line. The line obviously sucks. I don't know if it's Daniel Jones making bad decisions. I don't know if it's the play calling. But there's all this wasted talent, and it's really a shame. It's really a shame. But I just don't think Daniel Jones is the answer. They need a new quarterback. All right.
Probably so.
And the drop-o-meter. We go to the players to drop. Jarvis Landry.
He's a 8. I think, if you're hoping the matchup is good for him, which it is, then you stick with him. But, if he didn't have the rushing touchdown last week, it's just another miserable stat line. Baker's not right. This feels like run the ball as much as you can. Try and grind out a win. Not let Baker make mistakes or make plays unless you absolutely have to. And get into your bye week and hopefully get healthy.
Okay. Zach Moss. Oh, we didn't talk about Matt Breida, did we?
Yeah, he's another of the shallower guys. Their schedule is brutal coming up against the run. Their next 5 games, they get the Patriots twice. And I know New England's run defense isn't the strength of their team, but I still don't want to trust Buffalo's rush offense against the Patriots' rush defense. But they get the
Saints,
they have
Bucks.
The Bucks in that stretch. They have the Saints this week. It's just not very enticing for a three-headed backfield now. Now, he's made the most of his opportunities. Over 10 yards per carry last week. Had the 2 touchdowns on 6 touches the week before against the Jets. So I put in the column Devin Singletary as the drop candidate because I still like Moss better than Singletary. But if you want to drop Zach Moss, I have no problem. I can't argue against it just based on what this situation looks like.
Yeah, so actually I want to get the exact quote, but Joe Biscaglia of The Athletic, he's the Bills writer for The Athletic.
Yeah, he's great. He's been on HQ with us.
He said he wouldn't, I want to make sure I get it right, and I will, but I'm pretty sure he said, I wouldn't be surprised if Zach Moss were made inactive and Matt Breida is the 1B to Singletary's 1A. So that was his take on it, and I thought that was really interesting. I'll get the quote for you. Deonte Foreman and Adrian Peterson with New England and then a bye week. How droppable are they?
They're droppable. Peterson more so than Foreman. But yeah, I have no problem dropping both.
Okay. And how about Marvin Jones, 83% rostered with Atlanta. Good matchup coming up.
So the thing with him now is what happens with the targets that Agnew's gone. He had six targets. Chenault had five. Dan Arnold had none. You know, so what's the case with the Jaguars passing game moving forward? So I would consider holding Marvin Jones for 1 week just to see, but it's not something that you could trust. I mean, Trevor Lawrence right now looks really, really bad. And, you know, it's not him. The receivers don't separate. You know, you watch any game, they're covered all the time. You know, I mentioned Pete a lot, but Pete Prisco knows the Jaguars as well as anybody. He's on their part of their radio broadcast during the week. And he says they're so uncreative with their route running. You know, they don't do anything to give guys the chance to get open. You know, they just expect them to win their one-on-one matchups, and it's just not working. Jones doesn't run anymore. You know, Chenault's not a speed guy. We'll see if John Brown brings anything to the table, you know, now that he's activated off the practice squad and has a role to fill. But Marvin Jones just doesn't give you any semblance of hope. He's had one good game in his last six.
All right. So, yeah, this is takeaways from the Bills-Colts game from Joe Biscaglia. And Devin Matt Breida deserves to supplant Moss as a top two running back, blah, blah, blah. Because Moss doesn't play on special teams, it wouldn't be a surprise if he's a healthy scratch next week or in the future if his struggles continue against the Saints. Just one person's take on it. Okay.
Yeah, could be true.
How about Alex Collins? Would you drop Alex Collins 0 to 10?
I would probably still hold him. He's still going to be the lead running back for now against the Washington football team, and for Seattle probably moving forward with Carson out for the season. But again, you know, if we're in a situation where you're in a situation where Elijah Moore is available, you want to take a chance on the Jets guys. It's just this team just struggling beyond belief.
I wouldn't think I'd drop him for the Jets guys though. Would you?
If I'm not playing Alex Collins, I probably would consider it.
Who are you going to rank higher this week?
Ty Johnson in PPR.
Okay. Yeah, I guess I can't make a huge case for the four fantasy points you're getting from Alex Collins.
Right. They're not scoring. He lost his scoring chance this week. He's playing through an injury. So what happens if he, you know, they decide he's just going to shut it down?
Right. All right, let's go to the waiver wire then. And the quarterbacks are Cam Newton, Jimmy Garoppolo. And yeah, I guess we should probably talk a little bit more about him. He's been very good lately. The fantasy points haven't always been there, but it's 26, 23, and 19 points in his last three games. And yeah, I don't know. Minnesota, Seattle, it's not a great schedule, but great matchups in the fantasy playoffs. That's what I mentioned earlier. Atlanta, Tennessee, and Houston for Garoppolo. Would you add Garoppolo or Roethlisberger?
I think this is a good matchup against Minnesota. I think this game's going to get up and down. So I would start him over Russell Wilson, another guy for this week.
All right, pick up Roethlisberger. Which one would you pick up?
Roethlisberger first, then Garoppolo.
Okay.
But Garoppolo is probably safer.
And Cam's ahead of them, obviously. Yep. Jamie also likes Heinicke. And remember, I mentioned Seattle's been very good defensively lately, but last week they were terrible against Colt McCoy. And
remember, some of it was the matchups that they faced.
Yeah, but some of it was Stafford and Rodgers. Rodgers coming off, you know, COVID. Yeah, but also they could be without their top two corners. Tyrod Taylor against the Jets. Teddy Bridgewater, got to be a little desperate against the Chargers. Same with Flacco. Same with Dalton. Trevor Siemian's been putting up numbers, but he's facing the Bills this week. And long-term, if you want to look at Taysom Hill, it's a decent chance he becomes a starting quarterback at some point. He's 13% rostered.
No, I haven't to list. Thank you for that.
Any interest in Matt Ryan against the Jaguars?
No, not much.
Okay, and Tua against the Panthers.
Play better.
Yeah, oh, for sure. Tua against the Panthers?
He's fine. He's top 15 quarterback this week.
All right. Go to the running backs here, see if we missed anything. Ty Johnson, Tevin Coleman. And yeah, if you want to just look at the running back carries for the Jets in their last four games, combined carries, 20, 17, 22, 15. You get to 20, that's not so bad. You get to 15, 17, that's not great if you're going to be splitting them. Catches, though, 14, 3, 11, and 4. It really just depends if Mike White is playing. Mike White got hurt against the Colts. Jets running backs had three catches. Didn't play against the Dolphins. They had four catches. So, big deal there. Dontrell Hilliard, Jamie talked about this. So, he's unowned. 8 catches for the Titans against the Texans, facing the Patriots, who give up the third most receiving yards to running backs. And Hilliard, you know, especially if A.J. Brown is out, Hilliard's got a chance.
And Marcus Johnson.
And Marcus Johnson, yeah. David Johnson and Rex Burkhead. You would prefer which guy?
I prefer Johnson in PPR, Burkhead in non-PPR.
Jets have allowed, this is amazing. Everybody, your jaw is going to drop. The Jets have allowed 21 touchdowns to running backs in 10 games. Latavius Murray, he might be kind of like what I said about Boston Scott. 10 carries, except he'll have half the yards. Latavius Murray against Cleveland, they have been awful against the run their last 3 games. I don't know what is happening there, but just awful. DJ Dallas, if you want to take a shot on somebody who might be able to supplant Alex Collins. How about, okay, you got, looking long-term, you got Kadri Ollison, Matt Breida, and DJ Dallas. Do you think any of them have a legit chance to be start-worthy going, you know, down the stretch? That's Ollison for the Falcons, Breida for the Bills, and Dallas for the Seahawks.
Dallas. Absolutely Dallas. I think I changed the order since I sent it to you. I put Dallas ahead of Latavius Murray. Just because, again, if he, there is no Carson, he's number 2, Collins is struggling, why not give him an opportunity?
Okay, and the other guy I mentioned earlier, Sony Michel, by the way, Jamie has in the list, just get some handcuffs there. Michel is a lot of potential there for Michel. Obviously, you know,
the one game that Daryl Henderson missed, week 3 against Tampa Bay, he had 23 total touches.
Right. And Boston Scott, I made the case for earlier. You get double-digit carries for multiple running backs in 4 straight games for Philadelphia. And the chance they just crush, I don't think they'll crush the Giants, but I think they'll win. So, and he scores every game he plays against the Giants. Wide receivers.
Yep, Adam, thank you.
You got it, dude. Wide receivers. Brandon Ayuk, Darnell Mooney, Rashad Bateman, and Michael Gallup are for the shallower leagues. Who's your favorite there? Ayuk, Mooney, Bateman, Gallup?
Ayuk.
Who's your second favorite?
Mooney.
Okay. Who's your third favorite?
Bateman, just because Gallup's got a short window.
All right, who's your favorite this week? Is Gallup the highest ranked of these 4 this week?
No. Mooney is the highest this week.
My wife
16 targets, man. That's hard to overlook.
Did you notice my wife just turned the lights off in the room? I was pretty messed up. She turned them back. Yeah, I hate the light switch outside the room thing. What a terrible feature.
Well, you have light switch outside your room?
In this particular room, yeah. It's in the hallway.
Oh, I would be messing with you every 5 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. There's 3 light switches in a row. And the one in the middle is this. It's such a stupid setup. All right, add these wide receivers. Eli Moore, Elijah Moore. I'm not going to shorten. I have not really that close with him. Kadarius Toney for Jamie. Is number 2. Van Jefferson, 3. I'll just say I'll take Van Jefferson over Toney, but I will say that I'll take Shepard over. I don't know if I'd take him. I definitely take him over Toney. I think at this point I'm just going to say Shepard's my favorite Giants receiver, which is not a great thing. Would I take Shepard over
starting one this week? You'll stash Shepard long term.
I might stash. Yeah, probably. If in full PPR, yeah. And would I take him over Jefferson? No, I think, you know what? I think I'm just going to buy into offense here and just go Rams over Giants.
Makes sense.
Especially because the Eagles really do have the 3rd best against wide receivers. Okay, what else we got? Traquan Smith. I wish he weren't facing the Bills, but 9% rostered, and he's been pretty good lately. Been decent. Sed Wilson, MVS. Rams this week, then a bye, so it's not super appealing for MVS. Hey, by the way, if you have Aaron Rodgers this week, bad toe, facing the Rams, are you trying to get a waiver wire quarterback?
No.
Okay. Other guys, Nick Westbrook, Marquise Goodwin at Detroit, Russell Gage. Jacksonville has allowed 70 yards or more to a wide receiver in all but 1 game this year. What do you think? Can a Falcons wide receiver, if Cordarrelle Patterson is out, can a Falcons wide receiver get to 70 yards? Who would it be?
I mean, I think Gage, you kind of saw what he was. You know, I think he can get you 5 for 60, get you 11 PPR points. Okay. So not great, but desperation, he can be okay.
Rondale Moore is also on that list, had a ton of targets last week, but going into a bye, so it's not a huge priority.
And don't forget Jameson Crowder, too. You know, 2 of his last 4 games.
Absolutely.
He's done well. I know sometimes when I send you the notes, I lump the two guys on the same team together. But
yeah, I missed them. I'm
Crowder's
sorry.
In that conversation.
Yeah. Not a lot of yards, but he did it find the end zone. And Houston, you know, Houston's bad. The Jets-Houston game, low scoring, high scoring, what wins out? The bad defenses or the bad offenses? I just don't know.
I mean, probably the bad offenses went out. At least you would hope. I could see that game, you know, not necessarily ultra high scoring, but high 40s.
I'm not really sure why I'm bringing this up, but if Marquise Brown is out and if Lamar Jackson is in, any interest in Sammy Watkins?
Yeah. I had moderate expectations for him last week, so he's not horrible. I should probably include him too.
Yeah, he's probably in the Russell Gage type of stat line. Okay. Tight ends. So Pratt Freiermuth and Noah Fant, we haven't talked much about Fant, but Freiermuth's 83% rostered, Fant 75%. And Fant gets the Chargers, who are 31st. Then he gets the Chiefs, who are 26th. And then later in the year, weeks 16 and 17 are the Raiders and the Chargers again. So good schedule for Fant. Who do you like better, Freiermuth or Fant?
I like Freiermuth better.
Okay. So on the waiver wire, the tight ends you might want to add are Evan Engram, who is facing a team that has given up 77 yards or a touchdown to a tight end in 7 straight games. They are that team this year, the Philadelphia Eagles. Logan Thomas.
I'll flip it. I'll put Thomas first.
Thomas 1, Evan Engram 2, Cole Kmet 3. Now, you might see Detroit is 10th against tight ends, but they're really not that good if you look at who they faced and what they've given up. And Austin Hooper is 4. Baltimore has been crap against tight ends. Better lately. Very good against the Dolphins and the Bears. But 27th overall this season against tight ends. Hooper's been a little bit more involved, you know, 5-7-ish targets recently.
Yep.
Yay. And Juwan Johnson. Adam Trautman had 6 to 8 targets in 4 straight games, so maybe Juwan Johnson can pick up some of that slack. Yep. Tyler Conklin wasn't on your list. Any interest in him? 43% rostered.
No, I actually have him as a drop candidate. I don't think he's going to play well this week against San Francisco. San Francisco's defense against tight ends is good. The reason I like Conklin 2 weeks ago was his matchup with the Chargers. I thought he would struggle against the Packers, and then he struggled this week. The other drop candidate I didn't give you was CJ Uzama. You can drop him too.
And the DSTs to stream are the Bears at Detroit. We told you to pick them up on Friday's show. Pick them up before the week. They're going to be really – I'm confident. I'm not picking against the Jets anymore. I'm going for the Lions.
I would have said if Khalil Mack and Akeem Hicks were playing, now Hicks may play, this would be the number one DST this week. They're not far off, but they'd be number one.
Washington against Seattle. And
how about the Eagles second?
Oh, the Eagles. Okay, yeah. Eagles at the Giants. Are we forgetting any?
Of the ones that are widely available?
Well, just want to make sure cover all of our bases here. Do you like, let's see, Miami against Carolina? Probably not.
No.
Jacksonville against Atlanta?
Dallas is interesting. They're at 69%.
Oh, that's it?
You know.
You know what? Going against the Chiefs last week. Dallas is very interesting against the Raiders.
Yep.
Jaguars are 2% rostered. I guess I can't really do it. The Falcons give up the most fantasy points to DSTs. I did not know that. All right.
Well, part of that is when their backup quarterbacks come in and throw interceptions.
That's true. That pretty much covers it for today's show. Thanks, everybody, for watching and listening. We'll see you tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern. We're giving away a sweatshirt. Bundle up. Go to butcherbox.com/FFT. Get some delicious food. And I'm sure we'll be talking about food a lot this week. For Jamie, I am Adam. Thank you so much. We will talk to you tomorrow.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Dan Orlovsky, are you still a Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback available in the draft guy?
I think the three things that make it stand out for me are, number one, I think his ball placement versus man coverage is the best in the draft. Every quarterback in the NFL is accurate. He's got the best on tape. Number two, most transferable stuff to the NFL. And then I think the third thing is pocket peace.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.